I get fan mail all the time, and just seeing how it's affected little kids' lives and how it's inspired them, it's so special.
From Maggie to Mundingburra, Heatley to the Hill, Kerwin to Cluden, this is Townsville. This is Townsville. With Carly Whittington.
Joining us on the podcast today is Ali and Izzy B from Magnetic Islands Koala Hospital. Now, I think that you guys are the Irwins of North Queensland. You really have that energy about you, making a huge difference for the lives of local koalas. You are from the Magnetic Island Koala Hospital, and welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for having us.
It really feels like I'm chatting with some local celebs because we've seen you on Netflix. We've seen you in our lounge rooms, and now here you are in the flesh. It's really exciting. Izzy, for anyone who hasn't seen the series yet, how do you describe it?
So Izzy's Koala World is basically just a journey of us and how our day-to-day life is working with all the koalas.
Is it really like that every day? Like getting to cuddle and feed them? Like that's every single day?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool experience.
It's unreal. So there's a couple of seasons out if people haven't seen that they can check out on Netflix. One of the episodes, well, I guess it was all across season one, we were following the adventure of Leia. I'm not going to lie. When you released her at the end of that season, I cried. I was in tears. And when you first went to the tree to release her, I started crying and I thought, oh, that's, but it's nice. And then you like released her again to another tree and I cried again. Can you tell me, I know that was a little while ago now, but can you revisit that moment and explain what that was like?
It was a pretty sweet and sour experience. Mm. It was so good to see her grow up and finally be able to release her back into the wild. Obviously, it upset me quite a little bit because I was so close with her and she was sort of my responsibility to bring up.
Can you tell people more about maybe some of her, what her journey was like having her at the Koala Hospital and maybe why you became so close specifically with Leia?
So we got her in when she was only a really small baby and I sort of clicked with her and I got her to eat, drink, and I was really just building her strength up. But also once she got out to go into some of the bigger enclosures when she was discovering trees and, well, taller trees and all the different smells and experiences, it was so good seeing her get used to that and she, like, getting herself used to being a wild koala.
It's really special. Ali, what is that like to be, you know, obviously you're looking at it through two lenses. You're looking at Izzy as your daughter going, wow, that's so beautiful. What a great daughter we have. But you're also a vet. So you're looking at her going, that's such great care. What's that experience like to be watching over her?
It's been amazing to try and to watch this person grow from being so tiny. She was in a vet surgery from the moment she was born, pretty much 5 weeks old onwards, and then just got sort of older, always around animals. But the thing with the koalas is there is a very special bond there that she's gained over the years. But just to watch that grow is just, yeah, that's a pretty heartwarming thing to do. Now one of the best koala wranglers in the north. She can pick up koalas that probably most people couldn't do, most adults wouldn't be able to do. But yeah, just seeing the bond and the care and, you know, she'll come up with something at some times and I think that's coming out of my mouth and I know that, you know, she must have been listening to something I've said at some stage. So
yeah, obviously being a great influence on her.
Yeah.
Now, what we see a lot during Izzy's Koala World is the rescues that happen. Some of those scenarios, like it might be a nighttime call out. Can you talk me through how that process happens?
They all vary, really. I think because people now know how much we do with koalas, it's pretty well spread throughout the island, that there will be people that know where we live, people that know, you know, obviously know our phone numbers, that or know somebody else that knows us and they will get onto us that way. We have a wildlife care group, MIFCO, on the island, and they're brilliant at being second, you know, backup rescuers for us if we're not around for any reason. But yeah, it's just part of life now. You get a call, it doesn't matter what time, day or night. If we're there, then, you know, everybody gets involved and the more pairs of hands, the better. It's often a lot less stressful for the koala if there's more people there and you're not chasing it in one direction, trying to run and catch it. if you've got them gently surrounded, then that actually is a better outcome for everybody.
And we should mention too that, Izzy, your dad is very much involved in all of the Koala Hospital happenings. I do have to ask, though, tell me honestly, what do you really think of green ants? Because they do so much damage to the koalas, as we've seen when we watch Izzy's Koala World. Do you just despise them?
Yeah, not only the koalas though, but even just day-to-day things like going and collecting leaf for the koalas. Mum and I will think the branch of leaf will be fine, then we'll cut it, and next second we'll be covered in green ants, and it's just, I can't imagine how the koalas feel too, because just trying to get all them off me, and it's not a nice experience.
No, it's not a good time.
No.
Ellie, what do you think?
Oh, look, they're good gardeners, and they do try and keep the health of the trees. They do try and sort of keep the trees healthy from little bugs that eat the fresh tip, which is also what the koalas are after. So we need them out there, but they do a heck of a lot of damage. I mean, if you've ever been bitten by green ants, you know they swarm all over you. Then they all seem to have this instant, we're just going to bite now. So they
That's
all bite
right.
at the same time. But for a koala, with the way their hands are, they just cannot get them off. We can just pick the whole thing off and get rid of. But unfortunately, the koalas can't. So, and the more that crowd in, the more that they just go into a hunched up, I can't deal with position. And because they can't see, they're literally blinded by the damage that's done. They'll walk onto a road, they'll get themselves into all sorts of bad situations. And it's an easy fix normally if we can get to them quickly. Obviously taking off the green ants and then treating the eyes and giving them pain relief. And most of the time we get them back out there. But there's a lot of koalas we've had in care that have got old scars on their eyes. And that's obviously come from, now we realise that's green ant bites.
So is it the bite, and then are the koalas doing damage with their claws?
It's a bit of both. It's mainly the bite, because when the green ant bites, it injects formic acid or sprays formic acid.
Yeah.
And it's literally a chemical burn on their eyes. But they do also go for in between their fingers and any sort of, you know, around the nose and around the mouth. We've had some koalas that have actually lost the black leather on the nose. As they've been bitten, it sort of all swells up, it'll dry up, and it'll actually fall off. And we think, oh, that's terrible, how are they going to go? And then you'll get little black dots of new skin coming through. And they will go back to black noses again, which is great in this climate. Otherwise they'd be in big trouble with sunburn.
Izzy, can you tell me about what some of the feedback has been like from these two seasons?
Some of the feedback that you've gotten has been amazing. Just getting, because I get fan mail all the time, and just seeing how it's affected like little kids' lives and how it's inspired them to want to get out and help animals and sort of do what I do what me and my family do. I've had kids from America saying, oh, once I turn 18, I'm going to move to Australia and do this and that with all the koalas. It's so special.
You know what you're doing? You're fueling that American rumour that we have, like, koalas. kangaroos in our house just bouncing around. You guys literally have koalas there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just let them know that we don't all have that as much as we would probably want to. And, Ellie, how have you found the feedback from the episodes?
The feedback has just been amazing. And something that I just didn't ever anticipate. We made the series. We loved making the series. It was fantastic fun. And it was so good to be able to show what we do, you know, because we do get to share how special these little critters are. And especially now they've just been declared endangered, you know, even more special these days. But it's more the family feedback and kids suffering from autism or communication difficulties, that the mums have just sent us videos of these kids just looking at the screens, just absolutely sort of fixed on seeing what they're seeing, and it's very calming. We were lucky enough to work with quite a few people, obviously, with the film crew. One of the ladies used to work on Sesame Street. Liz was one of our producers. And so she was aiming it, because there was things that we didn't think, we didn't really contemplate about, is he writing notes? And some of these kids are only four and not going to understand. So Liz would guide us through, you know, how we needed to get that through to people, what we were doing. So the whole experience was just awesome, life-changing.
Can you take us behind the scenes, Ali? How did it sort of even come about?
It came about initially through just word of mouth. 2018, there were people that were looking for authentic, you know, genuine wildlife carers, just small stories that they were after. That was a collaboration with the Dodo on social media, and it became a collaboration with Animal Planet as well, and that was Dodo Heroes. That was their first ever season. Pen Farthing, the guy that's been evacuating the animals from Afghanistan, He was also one of the Dodo Heroes initially. But that was where Izzy was first introduced to them. The production company went back and kind of thought, yeah, there's a bit more than just one episode there. So they went to Netflix again with the Dodo, and that's how it came about. And it's so good for us to show. And for me as a vet, trying to educate younger generations about caring for animals and, you know, caring for the environment and all of that was the best opportunity to do that.
And I think you're 100% right. It is educating people. And even the way that, you know, the creators and the producers have put those final episodes together, they're short. Yep. There's little animations as well. There's lots of music. Yep. You know, there's scenes that are sped up and then slowed down. Like, I just think from someone who really enjoys looking at those creative angles, I think that they really nailed the way that the episodes came together. You just mentioned it there, Ali, the terrible scenario that our Australian koalas are in, officially being classified as endangered. Izzy, how does that make you feel?
Honestly, it's so sad. Even just the fact that it's gotten to this point, and now that they're finally being recognised and it's taken this long and this far just for them, just for their problems to be recognised, it's not good.
Is it true that koalas don't like all eucalyptus? Because I know that I live near the Ross River, and hubby says, I'd love to have koalas here. And I was like, I don't think they like these ones. What's the go there? Are they a bit fussy, Izzy?
They're very fussy eaters. So we have a plantation which we get leaf from, and we'll cut different kinds of leaf because we want to switch it up a little bit just to test out what kind of leaves we have. And it's crazy how fussy they are, because you can see the leaves look the same, but then you'll go back the next morning and half of it will be eaten and then half of it will not be touched.
Yeah. So they've got really good sense of smell as well, don't they?
Definitely.
So they're straight away going, sniff, sniff.
Oh, they know. Yeah, they know for sure. There's about, I think, 900 species of eucalypts out there.
Wow.
And they'll only eat all up and down the coastline. Obviously, they eat different trees in different environments, but there's only about 30 or 40 that they'll actually go for. And we try to replicate what they're going to get in the wild. But to be perfectly honest, we are still trying to work out the leaves that they do eat in the wild on the island. There's quite a few, I think there's a PhD study in that. They're also different. Ours are very lucky in that 75% of the island's national park. So from that, as long as people do the right thing and don't let the dogs go chasing through the park, then they're pretty well protected. Dry times of the year, breeding season particularly, they definitely move through corridors. And that's where you'll end up with them in backyards with dogs or on the roads, and that's where they get into trouble.
Because I was going to ask, what is the biggest threat to the koala population on Magnetic Island? We are lucky enough that we don't really get a bushfire season in North Queensland. So is it just those domesticated dogs?
Dogs, cars, but disease is still there.
Okay.
Unfortunately, 100% of the koalas on the island have got CORV, which is koala retrovirus, basically the koala form of AIDS. 100% have got them. It only seems to express when they're stressed. So if it's a very dry year and there's not enough to eat and they're not getting enough nutrition or moisture from the leaf, then they'll come down with illness then. Chlamydia is not something that we see expressed as a disease up here. Not like the horrific conjunctivitis problems or wet bottom syndromes that they get everywhere else. But it's still here. We've been finding it on testing, just incidentally, but it's still here. So potentially, as the weather changes, as it warms up, as it dries up, then it's going to become more of a problem.
So how are we able to support the work that you do? Can we do some online donations?
Most definitely. We've got no government support at all. So what we do is purely from donations and out of our own pockets as well. I mean, we do it out of love, so we would never have it any other way. But government funding, particularly now that they've gathered the endangered species, would be extremely helpful. And realize the government's realizing that the koalas don't stop just north of southeast Queensland. We've got them all up here.
Yeah.
We've been taking ones in from Mackay. We've had calls from Rockhampton. We've had them up towards the Cairns Way. So there is no koala hospital north of Australia Zoo. So a wildlife hospital, a dedicated wildlife hospital. That's what we're working towards. So yeah, online donations, always very gratefully received. And we always working on, you know, how we can improve our facilities and that sort of thing. So on the Facebook pages, the social media and that sort of thing, there's always links to PayPal or QR codes. We've got some Bitcoin guys that have have been helping us as well. Drop Bears Australia. They've actually been helping a lot of the different koala places. So they've been very generous donors too.
Oh, it's fantastic. We'll make sure that we get the links out so that everybody knows where to go and to show that love. Now, Izzy, you talk so passionately about the koalas and wanting to help them and better their lives. Is this a career path you're wanting to take on after school?
Most definitely. I love not only working with koalas, but just animals in general. I love helping mum out, again, not just with koalas, but going to mum's work and just experiencing it all. It's really good.
And Izzy, you're in year 9 now. The series started filming a couple of years ago. How do you make sure that you've still got time to spend with the koalas and balance your assignments, which I'm sure have only increased since getting to high school?
Yeah. yeah, I've definitely got more of a responsibility with all school stuff, but any opportunity I can to hang out with the koalas, I'll take it, even if it means just helping mum in the afternoon.
Sometimes a good excuse for, oh no mum, sorry, I can't come do the cleaning out because I've got this to do. But and when it's a school assignment, it's very hard to say, okay, all right, you can get away with it.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for shedding a light on more of behind the scenes of the Koala Hospital and how the series came to be. I'm sure it's making a really good impact in lounge rooms globally. We know that it's reached international viewers. So thank you so much and best wishes for the rest of your rescues.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for having us. This is time to-